Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, hello. So I'd love for you all to just take a moment and maybe say your name and where you are.
This is Gary in California.
Hi, Gary.
Hello,
Elaine, again. California.
Hi, Elaine.
Jerry
from
California.
This is Margaret in the UK.
Welcome. I'm going to just let you all talk for a minute so you can hear each other's voice and, like, tune in. So go ahead and say your names a little bit.
Hi, this is Jerry from California. Hey.
So what are you wanting us to do? Just talk a little bit?
Well, that didn't work very well. All right.
Hello in Boston.
Hello.
Hello.
You know, the idea is that we all connect with each other. It's not just my voice here. You know, when I'm doing certain classes that I'm teaching, certain material, that's one thing. But this is just, let's all get together and, you know, get that community thing going, for goodness sakes.
That seems to be the key lately, for us to connect, to have support of our own like or light or otherwise.
Yeah.
Rather than be so swallowed up by everything else.
And
this is Fawn from Nevada. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I'll also add a few names from the webcast, people who are shouting, but we can't hear them because they're there on the webcast. There's Laura from Oxnard. I think it's Velma from Powder Springs. Luann from New Hampshire. And boy, somebody from Athens, Greece, whose name I really apologize, but might be Zoe or
Oh,
Z-O-I.
Awesome.
Okay. Hello.
And there are many others on the webcast, but they're not speaking in any form.
Okay. That's cool. You don't have to. The call to community, it is so big now. There's this guy who wrote software that tracks, like, forums and articles printed and blogs and stuff like that to pick up words. And I haven't heard from him, but I bet community is one of those words that's being written about in so many different forms all over the place. And he picks up trends, and he sees that this is a predictive software. You can see, well, there people are talking about this, like people talked about plane crashes and disasters a lot before 9/11, for instance. You could follow that trend. So community. And it's so cool because when I look at it from my, you know, infinite self, when I connect with Arazu, it's like, holy moly, there's this huge plan. It's so there, and it's starting to click in. I wrote about this in my last newsletter about community. I had a couple of people write me back and tell me about their community that they're already starting. Somebody has one in Ithaca, near Ithaca, New York. And they've got the property and the permits, and they're started building, and they have three families there going. And Diana in Russia has just moved back from the UK back to Russia, and she's wanted to start a community. Well, she found one there that was all just beginning starting. So she's got something going there, and she's in a really an amazing part of Russia that has some magical energies there. She talked to me about it and sent me some pictures. So the physical communities thing is starting to really manifest in physical reality, but it's like physical reality follows consciousness. So the fact that we're all connecting on the internet and via the phone brings in that energy here. And it's like there's this plan that we set up that if we made it to this ascension track, we're going to do this. And people, a guy I know contacted me. He actually has pages and pages and pages of plans and structures and organization and how it works and different people within it, all that he's channeled over the last, I don't know how many years. And gradually he's been sort of finding people who are part of it. I'm one of those people. That's why he contacted me. And it's happening. So that's just, it's so exciting to me because it just, I don't know, it just seems like it's going to be really great.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So, that crunching noise. Somebody's making a noise. If you're making a crunch, crunch noise, could you please mute your phone?
By pressing star 6.
Oh, thanks. I'm going to try to keep this open if I can. If we have too much noise, though, we'll have to mute down. But I'd rather, it's more fun for me if you guys are there talking with me than if I'm talking to dead air. So if you want to ask a question, or if you have suggestions on what you'd like to focus on, I have some ideas here. You can, if you're on the webinar, type that in. Richard will report that to me. Or unmute by pressing star 7.
Star 7.
Yay.
I have a question for you, Sarah. This is Gary.
Go for it.
In California.
Hi.
Have you started, and I'm sure you have, so this is probably more for others, started to notice that before we do these phone calls or events where we're connecting in whatever form we're doing, that you start to feel the energy ahead of time?
Yeah.
I'm one of those that I guess I held myself back for a long time. Now, I significantly noticed today before the phone call, maybe an hour, I didn't really pay attention to the time, I could already significantly feel it.
Yeah.
Our consciousness and our mind is starting to catch up with all of the work and the progress we've done.
That's so cool. I've noticed that a lot. Sometimes there have been times when I've been getting ready to do one of these things, and I'd be like, why am I so nervous? Why am I so nervous? And it's like, oh, some people on the call are having a lot of anxiety. I'm connecting with people already. And then I go, oh, it's not mine, because I know what I'm doing here. You know, I'm comfortable. So then I'm like, oh, okay, good. It wasn't mine. But for this call, what I felt, what I started feeling for this morning especially, was this sense of hope.
Awesome.
Or promise, or potential. You know, sometimes it's all, you know, a lot of the work that I've done and other people have done historically has been about clearing. And it's sort of shifting, so we can still clear things if there something comes up. But the idea is that rather than trudging through the mud and, you know, shoveling it out, we shine so much light on it, the mud just, you know, dries up and blows away. Which is way fun for me, because rather than trudging through mud, I get to share people with the, hey, let's go see who we really are. Let's feel this. And then when things clear, when old limitations clear for the people I'm working with, I feel a sensation in my body that's almost like, it's almost like goosebumps or like energy going through, but it's really pleasurable. It's like, ooh, going through. And we'll, you know, we'll connect with our infinite self. We'll bring in all this knowing and then all this stuff. Just while I'm talking about it, people are just releasing stuff, and I can feel this, ooh, going through. And the other thing that happens is, our systems, when we know we're going to get together and be in a space that is safe, which is the container for releasing, clearing, or you could say healing, our systems like bring stuff up. It's like, ooh, I've got a spot. This is coming. I'm going to, like, you know, build this up and bring this up and get this ready to go when it's time. So that's something else that we can be feeling. So you guys are all just so, like, poised and, you know, I can really feel it. One of the key things that I got from Arazu was take the plunge. You know, let's do it. The image he showed me was like a fledgling eagle on a nest high above a cliff. And we've been up there sort of like, you know, flapping our wings. The eagle doesn't fly yet, right? Flapping our wings a little bit and hopping in the nest and going, okay, I did that for a minute. All right, I'm going to settle down. Well, meanwhile, Mommy and Daddy Eagle aren't there feeding him anymore, which is our guides telling us what to do every day. And it's like, well, I can't sit here all by myself anymore. I'm going to have to take the plunge. Jump out of the nest and see if these wings work. That's where we are. And as I wrote about the sunspot energy and all of that, because we have so much more awareness of, like you were talking about, Gary, connection to each other and to those aspects of ourselves, the oversoul or greater self, and to all the star families that are here.
Right.
You know, the Pleiadians and Sirians and Arcturians and our people from Polaris and Alpha Centauri, Beta Centauri, I mean, and all these other cool places. And there's a whole, what do they call it, galactic hodgepodge of at least a dozen, I think, different star families that are participating in this game. And now, as the veils lift, quarantine's clearing, they get to really start to interact. And I think we're going to start seeing actual irrefutable contact coming up in the next, probably within the next couple of years, is how it feels to me. I know a lot of people, I've heard some stuff on the internet, you know, it's happening now, they're coming on this date to this spot, and it doesn't feel like it's going to be quite that way, and it's not going to be like a dramatic presentation that gets everybody all worked up.
Well, it could be possible that, you know, we are all dealing with, let's say, multiple realities, dimensions, or whatever words you choose, and that there's a few differing opinions and realities there that people are experiencing. Maybe we're not going to experience it that way.
That's true. And that's the thing that's going on, is with, like you were saying, these multiple realities. There is a reality that's going to be experiencing fear, anger, you know, distrust, suffering, struggling, death and dying, and all those other groovy things.
Right.
And we don't have to, that doesn't have to be our reality. Sort of another image is that our favorite ascension ladder, you know, we are all moving up the ladder together, pulling the ladder up together. So what happened in 09-09-09 was, it was sort of like the ladder got broken. It's like, plop, okay, that's it. You chose your reality. We really, there's a way where we, the two parallels really split there. And the ones on the upper rungs of the ladder popped up. And when you, so moved up into a higher frequency, and when you shift frequencies like that, what happens is everything that doesn't match that old frequency, that new frequency, everything from the old frequency, has to come out.
Right. Some of us are seeing that in our face in an oh my God way. And I could explain, but it's a bit personal.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So some of the old energy stuff can come out as like fear or anger, intolerance, serious frustration, because we're still in this sort of pause thing. You know, like, it's almost here, stop. But also there's all this body stuff. Because one of the things that happened is that as we have more connection to our greater selves, we lose the doubt. And that's actually a key, that losing that fear, I mean, for me, I can think back to just not that long ago, a year ago, where I was still kind of questioning, should I do this? Should I do that? You know, trying to get guidance, you know, whatever it is. It's, you know, my own stuff, of course, is a whole lot harder. It's real easy for when I'm working with people, but my own stuff is sort of like, I don't know, what about this? What about that? Maybe this isn't, I don't know. But lately, it's just sort of, it's the same way I know the sun's going to rise tomorrow. That I know that this, you know, there'll be money when I need it, that even though my body may be looking and feeling really like I'm dying sometimes, I'm not. It's just remaking itself. And for the most part, the questions go away, the doubt, the wanting to seek guidance. And that actually triggers that biological change we've been talking about. Activate certain DNA. So one of the things for me personally was, I was waking up every morning around 5 o'clock with a horrible pain in my like gut area, upper gut area. And it was triggering the psoas muscles to go into spasm 5 to like 6:30 or 7 every morning for a while. And I just said, "Body, what are you doing?" And I heard, clear as a bell, "I'm making a new organ." I'm like, "Really? How curious." Okie dokie. And then I was talking to a friend of mine after that, and she was just sort of, I wasn't mentioning that, but she said, "You know, I remember reading this website once where they were talking about the changes that our bodies are really going to be making new organs so that we can digest light directly instead of having to have it through food." And I'm like, "Oh, really? I hadn't heard that one, except from my body." So our bodies are going through these changes. We're releasing those old energies, and it can leave you totally exhausted, tired, but not really relaxed. You know, so it's kind of hard. There's still sort of like there's like a tension or just a low-level kind of... And, of course, all the other favorite symptoms, the rashes, achy joints, flu-like symptoms, a lot of stuff going on around heads, neck, shoulders, heart stuff. You know, it's the body's adjusting to this new frequency we're in as well. So, Richard, were there any questions that came in on the... on the type board, whatever.
No actual questions. You got that one about fatigue. A few more people saying hello. Al from New Zealand.
Oh, cool.
Heidi
hello.
From Oregon.
Heidi.
But no cool. questions.
Okay. So if anybody on the phone or on the internet does have a question.
Hi, I'm new to this, and I actually had trouble getting on, so I'm not sure what you're actually talking about. I wasn't here for the beginning, so I'm not sure what the subject is.
Okay, whatever. The idea is that we get together, we share energy, we feel each other, and we talk about what's going on so we don't feel like we're all alone in this process.
Okay.
So if there's anything that's up for you that you've been kind of wondering about or you'd like clarity about.
Yeah, I have one issue.
Okay.
And I have listened to your recording, so I'm kind of at least familiar with you. you're great. You're wonderful.
Oh, thanks.
I live in a small condo, and in the place that I'm at, personally, with my spiritual growth, I'm very sensitive to noise.
Yeah.
And I hear the creaking above. It's just one girl above. I mean, every once in a while she has her boyfriend. But I hear the creaking. I hear the noise. It really bothers me. Like, the creaking at night goes through me. And she was up there. She was cleaning or something all night, Friday night, Thursday night, actually, into Friday. And I really had a hard time sleeping. I did everything I could. I tried, you know, praying to the angels, you know, tell me what's going on and... okay, she's going to go to bed shortly. I did almost everything I could think of, but nothing
except
helped.
For hit the ceiling
yeah.
with the broom
yeah.
handle.
yeah, and I had to bite my tongue not to do that.
Yeah. Okay, so good. Did you feel angry?
Yeah, and I tried to, you know, focus on, you know, my body parts, and I was going to my heart, and my heart was just, it was anger, and I tried to calm myself down, but I felt the anger, and I had a real hard time calming down.
Yeah. Okay, so this is wonderful. This was a perfect segue into something I wanted to talk about anyway.
Good.
Aren't you brilliant? So one of the things that's clearing as we made the jump in frequency are these old, quote, negative emotions. And she, your upstairs neighbor, is playing a role in your life to trigger this for you.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're in emotion, we can't get clarity until we discharge or release or express the emotion. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, you know, you want to see the higher vision, but you're up to your eyeballs in, you know, emotional goo.
Right, right.
So if there's anyone who has, like, something that's bugging them, or something there that's somebody who has had power over them, this is really good. Because this other step we're taking is to be the boss of our lives. It's like this reality is a company and you're the CEO. And your managers are the angels and ascended masters who are here to help. And we've been the other way around. We've had them be the bosses and gone, you know, spirit, guide me. I want to, you know, do the work of spirit. You know, let my guides tell me what to do. And seeking that and being in service to that. And like that eagle who didn't get the, you know, mommy and daddy's not feeding him anymore, our guides kind of went away because it's not appropriate for us to connect with them anymore from that perspective. So you're the authority in any place in your life that a person or people or family or an institution or your higher self has made you feel powerless, like you are not the one who is the boss of your life. It is appropriate to shift that. So what we're going to do, so I'm just sort of chatting on so you can all come up with something where you're really annoyed. Or have, you know, that, doggone it, they overpower me all the time. So we're going to go into the spiritually incorrect room. And this is a place where it's all sealed up. There's no repercussions. You can't hurt anyone, really. There's no way you can get karma or anything like that come back to you. It's a sealed room. And take that person. For you, it would be your upstairs roommate or your upstairs, whatever you call it, person
maybe.
Upstairs.
Yeah.
And you have a couple of big, burly bodyguards that hold them, and they can be like, you know, or have a, what do you call it, a thing over their mouth so they can't talk if you want. But then you go in, and you have them held there in your sealed room, and you get to just not be spiritually correct. Not try to calm yourself or connect with the angels or anything. Just let loose. Shut up! And, you know, go ahead. What do you want to say to her if you had no governor or limitation on you at all?
Stop thumping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let it out. You get to swear. You can take that broom handle and punch her in the stomach and say, stop it! It's the goddamn middle of the night, woman!
Okay.
If you want to mute your phone, I know this is kind of a scary thing to do with everyone listening. So if you'd like to mute your phone, anyone, and just really go ahead and do that. Take someone in there. And, gosh, I've had people take in the medical institution that was messing with them, or schools were doing things with their kids. You know, it's like, I hate the school system! You know, take a baseball bat. It's not where you're... It's a place where you just get to flow it out. And believe me, anger can... You can learn to really love anger in a way. Anger is your system's way of telling you you're not taking care of yourself or you're giving away your power. Okay, did you hear that? When you didn't pound on the roof and tell that woman, shut the fuck up!
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, enough!
Yeah.
You weren't taking care of yourself. Now, that was all going on, and you're being triggered by that because it's bringing up the stuff in the past where you didn't stand up and go, stop. You don't do that to me.
And I've gone upstairs several times, and the last time I did, they had come home, her and her boyfriend had come home late at night, and they came home from a Yankees game, and, you know, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning on a work night. And I went upstairs, and her boyfriend came to the door, and, you know, he's pretty, you know, I says, I live downstairs, and he's, oh, for crying out loud, we just got home from a Yankees game. And he went in, and he slammed the door. And, you know, I almost wanted to come downstairs and cry, but then I'm like, no, because this isn't my issue. You know, it's like, I'm okay doing what I did.
Yeah. Okay. So when you don't release anger and you turn it in, that's what turns into tears.
Okay.
And also, if you turn it in, it makes you stop. It's like you're wrapped in this tight thing. You turn it in, it turns into tears, and you're like, oh, stop. You can't take action. Anger wants to move. So when you get it, it's like, get up, stomp around the room, pound a pillow, grunt, growl, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just move your body, because a lot of us, especially women, have a tendency where we never had safety to have anger, right?
Right.
And when somebody else was angry around us, it was definitely not safe. Mm-hmm. So there is a way to have anger and have it bring people closer together. I watched my friends, a husband and wife team, who taught me years and years ago the beginning of, it was something called loving communications, which is part of what I use in my emotional freedom program. And they were having an argument in front of me. I'm sitting on the floor with my arms wrapped around my knees going, oh, God, something bad's going to happen. They're having anger. You know, I didn't have any safety with it. But they were able to, because of the techniques, the way they language and their willingness to be open to each other, they were able to, I'll give you an example. She said, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10 is what we're talking about, I'm having about a 10 of anger right now. And underneath that is about a 7 of shame. And the dialogue that goes with it is that you are just like my father. You don't treat me well and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she said it that way. Here's what I'm having, not you're doing anything. Here's the dialogue or the pictures or whatever it goes with. Here's what it reminds me of. He mirrored back to her, okay, so I'm getting that you've got super high anger and shame underneath it, and the dialogue is that I'm treating you just like your father did, and it's not respectful and all that. She goes, yes, and blah, blah, blah. He goes, okay, now I'm getting full. Can I have a turn? And she said, okay, yeah. Okay, so here's what I'm feeling. I've got a da-da-da-da-da, and here's my dialogue with it. And they went back and forth until both of their levels, their level of emotion or juice, dropped down to below about a 4. Because on a scale of 1 to 10, until you get down to about a 4, you just have to keep discharging. Nothing new can come in. You can't see any clarity. You can't shift anything. When I'm working with clients who are in a high emotional state, what I do is I mirror them until the juice is down low enough that then they're like, okay, now let's find that where that is, the point of creation, that programming in your body. We'll use the golden mesh and remove it, da-da-da. But it wouldn't be effective until the level of juice was down. And this is going to be a real important thing for us, because we want that clarity, but we can't get it with emotional stuff. And that's part of what's clearing as we make this new level jump, is all those places where we suppressed emotions for so long, especially anger, especially in women. But the real core one that nobody wants to ever have is shame. That's why I write about shame a lot. And often, shame is underneath anger or fear.
Anger, especially in women, but the real core one that
okay, so somebody on the phone. Okay, thank you.
Everybody's going to be muted for a little while. That was somebody is listening on the computer and on the phone at the same time.
And there's a delay.
And there's a delay, right.
We all get to hear me talking. I'm like, who is that? That voice is familiar.
So I've muted everyone for right now. And if you want to present some more and then cue me, and we'll try unmuting and see if that's been fixed. How about that?
Okay. Did any questions come in?
Well, actually, there's a couple of comments. One was from Pete in Florida saying, I can definitely relate to the body changes that are continuing. And then there's Gary from Ridgecrest saying, the energy here is just so far and above previous gatherings. Very nice.
Hmm. Thank you. Yeah, that's the shift that's going on. Like we said, when I was feeling the energy of this, I wasn't getting people's stuff they wanted to clear. I was feeling hope and potentials. Very exciting. Yeah. Okay, where was I? Shame. Shame is often an underlying emotion under anger and fear. Fear of shame. You know how they say people are more afraid of public speaking than death? I mean, public speaking is fear of shame, right? Because if you mess it up and everyone laughs at you, ooh, red face, humiliation, I can't talk, I lose my words. I don't want to be seen. Shame, I want to hide. People are more afraid of shame than they are of death. You know, a lot of people are afraid of death. And so that fear is sort of the outside emotion, and the shame's underneath. And then another one is anger. A woman, oh, here's a good example. On a class I was teaching, her phone kept disconnecting. And she got angrier and angrier. And then because we were working on emotional stuff, that was a class, she kicked into that. Okay, so what am I really getting angry at? She goes, oh, I'm feeling like I'm being rejected energetically from the group. This is a group of really awesome masters, and I'm not good enough. So the phone thing triggered that, but she felt anger on top of it. Now, as soon as she connected with that, her phone quit disconnecting, and she was there for the rest of the class, which is just, it's amazing how that works. Our systems will, if we have suppressed emotion, we will always either create or attract or be attracted to situations that will trigger that so it can come up and out. The emotions are part of the earth reality. We've been doing the polarity, good and bad, on emotions and focusing on only having the good ones, right? If you only have the good emotions, then you'll only create good, except for the unconsciously, the negative ones are down there, and that's what's really creating your reality, is your unconscious mind, not your conscious mind. In her book, Initiation, Elizabeth H. wrote about, who is a spiritual teacher, oh God, how long, she's been dead for a while, but at any rate, she wrote about her experience remembering her lifetime long ago in ancient Egypt as an initiate in the priestess, into the, you know, the rites, and then going through the full initiation and the training they did. And one of the trainings was to sort of learn to have the emotions and just run them through your body. She said that they described it as being a way of, oh God, clearing the nerves or something, or flushing the nerves so that they can carry higher frequencies or more energy. That was how they described it. But what they would do is think of a situation that would trigger a particular emotion. They'd have a picture, and then they'd really amp it up and really go into it. Then they would start just triggering those emotions without having to have the pictures, just turning them on in their body. Just, you know, here's anger. And then they'd start juxtaposing it. The lowest despair and hopelessness, then right afterwards, the most amazing joy and bliss and hope. And eventually they got so they could just turn them on or turn them off, carry both at the same time, and they realized that it was just an energy moving through their bodies. Energy, you know, we've all heard this one, emotion, energy in motion. And that the outside world isn't what creates the emotion. You could just turn it on their body. There it is. Boom, flow. And so it became that place where the outside reality could no longer trigger their emotion. So what we're doing in a, not, you know, our lifetimes, especially this one, have been an initiation. And we've been put through the paces to feel some pretty intense stuff. Or I don't know, maybe you haven't. I certainly have. My friend, the woman who was in that couple, called me the queen of shame because I had so much of it and I ran so much of it. And I got just finally so it was like, okay, shame. Oh, yeah, I'm having some shame over here. You know, I'm going to admit it publicly, by the way. That's very freeing, by the way, because the number one way we are controlled is by trying to avoid shame. We don't want to look bad. We don't want someone to judge us. So everywhere that, everything that that brought up, all the anger and all the shame, I'm really feeling the space here. We're going to shift modes a little bit. Ha, take a breath. Focus on your body now. And whatever emotions may be coming up with you, notice where you carry them in your body. Okay. And we're going to go ahead and shift right into perceiving and feeling your body as being made of waves of light. I got pretty intense there. It still is. Yeah. So feel that emotion. Let yourself have it. Feel it in your body. And we're just going to do, I'm going to do a big mesh for everyone here. Let's all connect up our waves. There, thank you. All right, we're going to back up and do this first. We can using the imagination is a wonderful tool. We're all sitting in a big circle. It's just going to have to be really big, like a cathedral again. Everyone in the current now moment, everyone who will participate by listening in the future now moment, all those beings who are participating energetically but not listening, and all those angels and masters, the elements, elementals, the animal totems. Yeah, it's cool because I just noticed all these like really like there's like a cougar and an eagle and a wolf and all these animals sort of like circling around us, and those are all really cool totems of leadership and teacher and eagle. You know, awesome vision. I'm not so good at all those. But at any rate, there they all are. Okay. So we're going to do a great big old mesh. By the way, the way I can do a whole planetary mesh is that I just get bigger. So I'm bigger than the planet now. And we can just pull all those emotions that your system's ready to let go of through. And all the belief systems, all the programming, all the chemical training in your body, you know, to the way we get addicted to certain emotions because our cells are used to attaching to them. Whoa, sorry. I'm getting some, working with the big energy here. The words are kind of getting hodgepodgey. Hold on a minute. Just keep breathing. Okay. All right. Ooh. Kind of roll your head. Let's get that out of there. Take a big breath. Everything that is, we're going to like let that go in that wormhole. One, two, three. Uncreating. Moving structure. Taking it back to neutral energy. Very cool. That feels better. Okay, so everyone, imagine that we're all in this big group, which we all are, and notice the people around us. God, I just want to, like, do a jig or something. This feels so good. You're all so shiny, and there's so much joy and excitement. Yeah, so let's just flow that energy. Flow it to the right and receive it from the left. Love, the joy. The wonderful, God, the West isn't even the right word. It's connectedness or communion, where all our energies are together. Very sweet. So let's just take a minute here just to be still and feel this. And let's ask that this feeling, this sense of unity, of love, of joy, excitement. And you also notice that, you know, there's this confidence, knowing. It shifts to become aware of our greater selves or infinite selves. Let's take our circle outside of the planet, outside of the grids and the veils of illusion, out into space. Yeah, so there's none of that Earth game programming here. No work that has to be done. Everything you might desire is automatically created. It's a friendly universe. You know everything you need to know. Let's take this state, this knowing, blissful state, and kind of activate it into your DNA of your body and every single cell. So I was looking at the different, the new body template and the comparatively. It was like the difference between a chunk of coal and a diamond, because we are moving from carbon-based to silicone-based, crystalline. And it was like, it's like crystal clear diamond, very shiny, multifaceted, but at the same time, not soft and gooey, you know? Very clean, very, very, it's more like probably quartz crystal, but the metaphor of the coal, we've all gone through the squeeze, haven't we? Turning us into diamonds. Nice. Okay, so I would like, can you unmute people, Richard?
Sure. Can I read you a couple questions from the webcast first?
Sure.
Let's see. There's the one about my lifelong unexpressed anger turned to become depression. It's just not spiritual being angry, I thought. So I suppressed it. Now it shows up like rage from time to time, but it is okay. What is it clearing? How do you clear?
Okay. So what is it clearing? So good question. Another sort of image that I've played with is that our body is like a tube that moves energy. And we will flow. Generally speaking, nobody suppresses happiness or joy or hope. We just flow it, right? But when we get that other stuff, because of various spiritual teachings, from religion to metaphysical teachings and all that other stuff that we got in our families and schools and all that, we weren't supposed to have anger. Let's go with anger. So we stop it and stick it there. And what that does is it slows down your flow of energy through your system. Specifically with anger, when we suppress it and suppress it, it turns into depression. I remember I was talking about when you turn anger in, it makes you not be able to move. That's that. I think probably You know, if people would take the folks who are depressed and just let them have their anger, they'd stop being depressed. So it's not clearing anything other than that lump of anger that got stuck in your tube from all those experiences. And I'm just feeling your energy specifically, and you really did get stomped on really hard, just to acknowledge that. And I can feel like the fear around anger, that it's just not okay. I mean, you know, in Christianity, you could go to hell, metaphysical stuff. You won't ascend to physical stuff. You know, if you have anger, then your dad hits you, whatever it is, you know. Ugh. Or your husband chokes you. Oops, did I say that? So it's not clearing anything but the old stuck energy, which is blocking the flow. And the other thing is that when an emotion is suppressed, what happens is it doesn't stop happening. It's sort of amplified or ammed out into the environment. You know how you can get around certain people and just being in their aura feels bad? And other people, you can get around them, and they're just like, oh, it's so easy to be around her. I don't have to watch myself. Oh, you know. That's the difference between somebody who has a lot of emotion amming out of them, or people who actually express it, feel it, give themselves the safety. Go to the Spiritually Incorrect room, or call me up. I'm really good at it. to those people who have expressed their emotions, have a clean, clear aura. The other thing that happens with unexpressed emotion is what we do is what I call passing the experience. If as a child you were told by your father that you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, you know, you're stupid, whatever it is, or by whoever it was, let's just go for that scenario. This little boy can grow up suppressing all of that, and putting on a mask or a shield of confidence and arrogance. But when you're talking to him, what he's amming constantly is fear, shame, worthlessness, hopelessness, helplessness, which is what's underneath that. So when you're around that person, you're feeling their unexpressed stuff. And we pass it sometimes. If somebody has unexpressed shame, they might pass it by telling somebody almost verbatim what they heard. If he's your supervisor at work, he might tell you, look, you're not smart, so you just got to listen to me. You're not going to get this done right. You know that it could come that way with a sort of a direct passing of the experience. But it can also be indirect. That same guy can come in and go, oh, I just bought a new Porsche, and I'm, you know, I've got the promotion, I got the best sales and all that. And it sounds like he's just, you know, bragging about himself. But underneath, you're feeling like, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm worthless, he's better than me. So being really aware of that, because we're going to, you know, emotions are flowing. We're going to be around people who are not conscious or not having it, and they're amming this stuff out. You can just stay aware. Every emotion you feel, every thought that goes with it, is this mine? I read about this, but is this mine? Is this mine? Is this mine? So I hope you don't mind, Hope, that I use this example again. I was talking to my friend Hope, and she was telling me about this guy that she'd met recently. And while she was talking, I suddenly started feeling sad. And I went, this isn't mine. Is this hers? No. Whose is it? It's his. So I said, oh, is this guy really sad? And she said, oh, yeah, he's been going through whatever it was. So I was feeling his sadness through her during a phone conversation. It really happens that way. But I'm talking on the phone, and I'm feeling sadness, and I just have practiced so much, it's automatic for me to go, oh, wait, is that mine? No. And let me tell you, as we, because we are so psychic and it's opening more and more, probably, let me feel this group. An average of 87% of what you feel and even what you think, the thoughts that are triggered by it, are not yours on a regular daily basis. Cool. So I hope that answers your question. And good job. You know, it's hard to, one of the hardest ones, I think, and like I said, especially for women, when you've turned your anger in and turned your anger in, to let it come out is really a wonderful breakthrough. Okay, was there another question, Richard?
Yes. Sort of a question comment there about how about speaking the truth in love? If alone, I can tap on the anger with a tap and breathe process that she uses to bring down the charge so I can respond in love. I also do Ho'oponopono, which recognizes the one mind and recognizes our projection.
Right.
And then she says also that, yes, my computer printer also acts up. I change, it changes.
Yeah. Okay, so there's kind of a, what do you call it, a sticky icket? No, a little bit of a sticky kind of sort of trap thing in there where you want to respond in love, which is still putting a judgment out that anger is bad. And the tapping and breathing, I think that's probably that technique. I can't even think of what it's called right now, which is actually really cool. Works well. Boy, can you write an example of that? And yes, there is that the projection is there. Like I said, your system will attract or create situations that want to that will trigger your stuck stuff. So if anger is stuck, then you will create scenarios in which anger is around you or you're being pushed by it. So when you clear your own stuff, you don't have that going on around you anymore. And other people play roles for us. Like I said, if you're not expressing an emotion, it's amming out. So if you're not expressing anger and people are around you are feeling it, it triggers it in them. Or if you have suppressed shame, then people get around you, they start to feel that way. That's another way we sort of create it. And, you know, if you wanted to give me an example, that's cool. Otherwise, let go of being spiritually correct. And you can do it in the room because you know you're not really hurting anyone. And let that inner child just, like, you know, instead of using I sentences, you sentences, you're just a big meanie. And you're never going to do this to me again. Go up to them and say, never again, never again. Let your powerful self come up. And if you need to have, you know, some big protectors around you, take them with you. Richard, is there any more? Or do you want to unmute?
Yes. Well, let me make this one. I'll read this one because I think it's an interesting observation, and then we'll can unmute. I'm a healthcare practitioner. Recently, my clientele has almost completely disappeared. My rents are not being paid. It feels like everything is rebalancing. Can you comment? And the second comment on that same person, I'm feeling quite calm about the whole thing, which is great.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There is, within the program, there is the major thing that I've talked about before. I must work to live. I must make money. I must make a living. I'm supposed to pay my rent on time or my mortgage. I have to have good credit. I should be kind to people. I should be productive. All of that and the whole financial system, all of that. So I think it's just us on the front edge of the ascension wave. In order to break free from the program, it's like we have to, like, lose it. If you were succeeding within the program, why would you give it up? So many people I talk to, and I also had this experience of, you know, financial ruin, health gone to shit, relationships gone to shit, no friends, no energy, and then you finally just go, I give up. I can't make it work here anymore. And I was reading somebody else's material, I think on Spirit Library, where they were talking about, you know, this is a really important time. You have to position yourself carefully. You don't want to miss this, and you really have to work to clear stuff. And, you know, if you mess up, you're going to miss this window of opportunity here. And Razu just came roaring through me and said, type. You know, I was like, oh, cool. And speaking of printers, I was going to print it up and read it, but my printer just won't. It's like, no, I'm confused. Every time you try to work me, I just jam your whole computer, and you have to force the whole thing to shut down. So I'll just paraphrase or reiterate. The title of it was, It's Already Done. We have already created that future with the communities where you don't have to worry about making your rent. You don't, you know, where you're doing the work that you love, where you wake up in the morning and feel, ooh, cool, I get to go do this today. It's already done. That's letting that feeling where you're not worried about it. It's like, it's okay. You don't have to worry that you're not going to get there. It's 100% guaranteed. And that is that knowing, that releasing of doubt, that invites it in even faster. Yes, this is a time when, because of the way the energies are moving, you can do a lot if you want to make a lot of shifts. So, you know, if you want to do clearings, if you'd like to have some help with creating your new job or your new life or whatever your new potentials are going to be, connecting with all that, this is a great time to do that because there are opportunities, but not because there's some threat against you that you might screw up and get left behind. So just let that all go. Any part of you that thinks, I'm not doing it right, I should be feeling better, I should need less sleep, I should be abundant, I should. If I was doing it right, all of these things would be happening. Let go of all that. Like I said, if you were succeeding still within the old reality with some of those constraints, because we are still kind of releasing that. We're still living within it. There's the dual realities still coexisting here. So it's sort of like we had to get to the, like, total null point. All energy stops. There's no money. There's no work. There's no energy. There's nothing. And then we start up again. But while we're in that, we're still kind of in that null point, moving toward the starting up again. And the sunspot cycle is going to start increasing again, which starts making things move. So, perfect. And you don't have to work to create. You don't have to spend a lot of time visualizing or sending out love or any of that. Because just like you know the sun will rise tomorrow morning, you know this is coming. You don't have to go to bed at night and do a conscious practice of visualizing and feeling and projecting the sun rising tomorrow. I mean, you can if you want. Seems like an awful lot of work to me. Okay. It's already done. That was the message. You can relax. It's weird now, but know that it's already done. And then, Richard, if you could unmute, that would be great.
Okay, just a moment. And once I unmute, everybody's going to unmute it. I would suggest for those that don't want to speak that they star 6. Just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
I hear the background noise. Okay, can you speak? People out there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. All right. Any questions from the on the phone audience or comments?
Hi, Sarah. It's Elaine.
Hi.
The idea that it's already done and it's already chosen, oh, my gosh, how comforting.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. We don't have to struggle and work for it anymore.
I like that idea.
Yeah, well, I certainly enjoyed when his energy came through. And was that, I was like, oh, this is so good. That's that, oh, that feeling of, oh, it's cool. I can relax. I don't have to fuss, fret, effort, try to work on anything. It's okay. Of course, we don't have to work in the new reality, but this is our game. We want to participate. So think about it. Rather than thinking of, you know, what's my work going to be, how will I participate in the new reality? What's my role going to be? How can I create over here? This is going to be fun. Me, I want to be an ambassador to the star families. That sounds like a whole lot of fun. Okay, anyone else? Okie dokie. Well, thank you for spending time. Oh, something?
Everyone's either in awe or we lost them.
Oh. Yeah, I know. We get all, like, expanded out, and trying to make the lips move at the same time is something that takes a little bit of practice. Well, when we get in that, it's already done, that knowing place without doubt, it's like, oh, questions? I'm supposed to come up with a question? It's so, no, there's no questions there. It's so, like, I know what I need to know.
Well, here's a question, comment on that. We are getting to the point where we don't have to really ask, talk, communicate it, or even, for that matter, figure it out. We are to the point of we just get it.
Yeah. And the ability to communicate, like, you know, you could say telepathically, is really going to be increasing. That using your imagination, spending time going outside of the Earth realms, out to visiting your greater self that's outside of the program, having inner journeys, places where you can go meet masters, and, you know, Isis has a temple somewhere you can go talk to her, and all of that where, it's not really talking so much. Usually what happens is you go in there and you get a knowing, you know, a feeling knowing. All that is developing all those senses within us. Actually, it's like remembering, because that's the way communication works outside of the planet. You know, this talking thing is real limiting. Yeah. So, and that's also sort of, I've talked about the changing nature of channeling, where you think of Jane Roberts going totally into trance, who she channeled Seth, and it was so hard on her body and all of that. Really, that's the unconscious or trance channel, yeah. And the newer channels have been able to get themselves out of the way but not be totally in trance. And then, you know, it's kind of hard to channel with your eyes open because it's so distracting from the outer world is so distracting, but channels are now becoming more and more able to do that with their eyes open. And the nature of it is changing. When I can't even say I'm really channeling anymore because I'm there as much as the rest of the consciousnesses I'm connecting with Arazu and Isis and, you know, God, Saint Germain and Katumi, all these guys I like to hang out with and talk to all the time. It's sort of like we're all blending into one, and it's not me, Sarah, getting out of the way in order to let some other wise being communicate through me. It's not that I'm just becoming a vessel. I'm a participant, you know? So that is another one of those shifts where we're having that connection, and then we're going to have, like, individually with people. I mean, I know you've all had the experience of, you know, reading somebody else's mind or knowing when the instant they walk into the room that they're upset or whatever. So it's all very exciting. Okay, so we kind of ran a little long, but I guess it's awful nice to say in this energy. But just to honor everyone's time schedules, thanks for joining me again.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Sarah. Thank you, Sarah.
It was my pleasure. Love you
all.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.